Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I appreciate the presence of everyone, and it's certainly good to have an opportunity to spend some time this morning in a study of God's Word. Having been out of town, it's good to be back, and I know that a number of folks have been traveling over the summer, and it's good to see others who are back as well. If you're visiting, we are thankful for your presence. Appreciate Bob and Lance preaching in my place last Sunday. Appreciate them doing that. And we had a good gospel meeting in Muscle Shoals outside of the Florence, Alabama area. It was good to be with those brethren. We had one baptism. We studied, visited with a lady earlier in the week, and then on the way home yesterday, the local preacher did a follow-up study with this lady, and she was baptized. So please keep her in mind. Keep our new converts in mind and our new Christians in mind. There's a lot of forces trying to pull them back into the world. Jesus talks about in the parable of the sower how that the devil wants to come and snatch away the word after somebody has believed. And so pray for new converts. That's a great thing. And good to see Jackson and Grace with us, and let's pray for them and their new marriage, and let's pray for them that they'll be faithful to each other and faithful to the Lord. In the same way, there are a lot of forces that act upon marriages to try to pull people apart, so let's pray for them. I asked them if they were still married, and they said yes, so that's good to know. Good to hear that. This morning, I want to talk about the relationship that God has with us. From time to time in your life, you may wonder about, as you go through life, does God care? Is God nearby? Does God know what is going on? And we might be going through some trial or tribulation, and we wonder if God is there for us. We can't see God. We don't see Him. In fact, we're going to look at a passage later in our lesson this morning from John, 1 John. He admits, we don't see God. And so because we don't see God, and because He does not speak directly to us, let's all be honest, we wonder sometimes, is He there to help us? And we're going through some problem, we're going through some issue, and somebody says, well, all I have is my Bible, and God's not literally in my presence. I can't see Him or I can't hear Him. And so some people will cave and give in, and they'll fall by the wayside because they just don't believe God is there to help them. And I want to remind us this morning that He indeed is there. I'm going to talk about God and us. This morning, we're going to look at some statements in the New Testament where God has relationships with us. And I hope that that will encourage us to remain faithful to the Lord. No, we do not see God. He does not speak directly to us, but He has a relationship with us. And so when we have that temptation, we need to remember that God is near. When we have that struggle, that trial, that issue, and we wonder if we're by ourselves, we don't need to believe that we are by ourselves. When we're at work, and when we're at school, and when we are other places, we don't need to think, well, I'm just by myself. And we're going to remind ourselves this morning that not only is God near us, He's in us. You can't get any closer than that. And so I want us to be encouraged this morning with these statements that are found in Scripture about the relationships that God has with His people. This morning, you know that I'm fond of words and word studies. We're going to look at some little prepositions that describe God's relationship with us. And you remember in school, a preposition is usually just a little word that describes some sort of relationship between the main subject in the sentence and what happens in the rest of the sentence. There's often a preposition, and it describes relationship. It could be with, in, on, by, through. These are all words that describe relationships. And we're going to see this morning in the New Testament where God is described with these little prepositions. When you're reading your Bible, sometimes it's tempting to ignore the little words. Let me encourage you this morning, no matter where you are in your Bible, don't ignore the little words. Those things have a lot of meaning. And we've been going through Paul's epistles, and especially in Paul's epistles, the little words often, the little conjunction and can be very meaningful in a particular verse. So don't just read a verse looking for big words. Focus in on the little things as well. Very, very important. And so these little prepositions are there by the Holy Spirit for a reason, for a purpose. And that is to describe relationship. And that's what we want to consider this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And let's be reminded this morning that God is with us. If you were having a problem with something and somebody said, well, just wait a minute. Let me come and I'll be with you. When you hear the word with, that's going to bring you some encouragement, some consolation. Here is somebody that's going to be standing with me. Let me help you with that, we say. That always encourages us. And we need to remember this morning that God is with us. Somebody says, well, wait a minute. I thought the Bible taught that He was way up in heaven. He is. But He has the ability to be in heaven. Heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool, Isaiah says. But in heaven, He can be with mankind. And you remember when Jesus was the description by Matthew of Jesus' birth. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now all of this was come to pass that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, this is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is being God with us. Jesus is God in the flesh. We have been studying the book of Colossians, Colossians 2, 9. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When Jesus came, this is God with us. Other passages tell us that the Word dwelt among us. Acts 1, 21, Jesus was among the disciples. God is with His people in Jesus Christ. We don't need to think, well, He's way off somewhere. He's with us. And He's with us in Jesus Christ. And turn with me to 2 John 2. His truth is with us. Somebody says, well, I need some help. His truth is with you and me. With speaks to a close relationship. With speaks to someone who wants to help us. Don't ever think I'm alone. Don't ever think I have to just do this alone. The parent who is struggling, the Christian who is struggling in some kind of way, and we do deal with those kinds of things. Don't ever think, well, I'm just by myself. No, God is with us. And what an encouragement that should be. For the truth's sake, which abides in us, and we'll get to this later, and it shall be with us forever. God is with us. And while we're here in 2 John, look at the very next verse. Grace and mercy and peace shall be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. His grace and mercy and peace shall be with us. We need peace in our life, and we need mercy in our life, and we need grace in our life. It's not some abstract thought that is floating around out there somewhere in the universe. John says these things are with us. And as we put the truth of God's Word into practice in our life, it will bring grace and mercy and peace. There will be marriage challenges ahead, but God is with us. There will be parenting challenges ahead, but God is with us. And His truth is with us. And in verse 2, it will be with us forever. You don't have to worry about one day this is just all going to be gone. One day there's not going to be any truth to be found anywhere. Not only is it with us, but it's with us forever, our entire lifetime. And it's going to be with your children, and it's going to be with your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. The truth of God is with us. Now, we can reject it. God is not going to force Himself to be with us. We can reject Jesus, and many did in His day. But Jesus was Emmanuel. He was God with us. Many people accepted that, loved that, believed that, trusted in that, but others did not. God is not going to force His truth to be with us. God is not going to force His grace and mercy and peace to be with us. We can shun that. We can reject that. We can turn that away. But hopefully this morning, we would want the assistance of God. And oftentimes when we need help and somebody says, well, let me come over and sit with you. Let me come over and help be with you. We say, we're thinking, thank you. I need that. And we need to remember that with regard to God, that He wants to be with us in our lives. Turns me to Romans chapter 5. Let's look at another relationship. And I want you to notice I've put these relationships this morning in a progressive way. If somebody said to you, let me come stand with you, we would think that is very helpful. That is very encouraging. But what if somebody said, let me come stand with you and then let me give you something? Now that even gets even closer, doesn't it? So here's a person who's with me and then he wants to give something to me. That means he is very interested in my life. We need to remember that with regard to God. And as we go through life, we need to remember these kinds of things. In Romans chapter 5, if you'll turn with me there, we find that not only does God want to be with us, but God wants to give us things. He wants to give things to us. Now we're talking about possession. God has some things that He wants to give to you so that you can possess them. That should be very encouraging to us as we go through life. For example, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and hope puts not to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. The Holy Spirit is given unto us. John will say that in 1 John 4, verse 13. Somebody says, well, I can't see God. That's right, you can't see Him with the naked eye. I can't see the Holy Spirit. No, I can't see Jesus. That's right. But the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can be with us and can be given to us. Now, this is not in some mystical or mysterious way. As we'll see later in the lesson, the Holy Spirit is given to us as His words are given to us. But notice that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And the word of the cross has been given to us in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. The word of the cross has been given to you. You can know about Jesus. You can know about Him dying on the cross. You can know what you need to do to become a child of God. You can know what you need to do to contact the blood of the cross. And so that word of the cross has been given to us. And His Son has been given to us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who was made, look at this, unto us. God made Jesus for us. He made us unto us. And so look at verse 30. The wisdom is for us, the righteousness, the sanctification, the redemption. These things are unto us. We need to remember that. God not only is with us, but it's like He reaches His hand out. Take the Holy Spirit. Take the word of the cross. Take my Son. And we've got to be willing to reach out and take that. and He gives His revelation unto us. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. We had a lesson a few weeks ago on this passage is talking about the wisdom of God. But unto us God revealed them. The wisdom of God. Unto us God revealed them. When you hold a Bible, you hold the revelation of God that was given to you. Take it personally. Sometimes, and let me speak to our young people here this morning. Religion is for the old people. You know, religion's for my parents and my grandparents. I'm not really into that kind of thing. Paul says God wants to reveal to you personally, each one of you, and to me, His mind. And so we have to have our Bibles open so that this can be in our heart and in our lives and change us. This is given to you personally. And what a great thing that is. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. God gives you an earnest of the Spirit. The word earnest here, like earnest money today, if you give somebody some earnest money to hold an item or an apartment or something like that, we would call it a down payment. He that wrought for us this very thing, look at that wrought for this very thing is God who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit. When you obey the words of the Spirit, that's a guarantee that you are right with God. And He gives you a guarantee. Paul will put it another way in Romans chapter 8, that when your spirit testifies with God's spirit, then you know that you are a child of God, a son of God. And so it's a guarantee. And so if somebody walked up and said, I want to give you a guarantee that you're going to be blessed by God, you would probably take it. That's what the Holy Spirit is. When we obey His words, it's a guarantee that we are right with God. Brethren and friends, I want us to see that we don't have to have a physical presentation of God to be encouraged that He wants to have a relationship with us. We don't actually have to hear Him in our ears and see Him with our eyes when we understand that these relationships are meant to encourage us and build us up. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have a ministry of reconciliation. When Paul and the other apostles went out and preached the gospel, it allowed us to be reconciled to God. Sin that is in our life can be removed and we can be forgiven. And Paul writes, but all things are of God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us, that would be Paul and the other apostles, and he might even be including Timothy, as he's writing this book, He gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. How? Not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have the word by which we can be reconciled to God, and Paul and others, and then even today, we take that gospel and we try to reconcile people to God. And we're thankful this past week, just yesterday, someone was baptized in a swimming pool in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and she was reconciled to God. She was brought back to God. And so we've been given this ministry to take the word and share it with others. It started with Paul and the apostles, and it continues with us even to this day. And so let's try to take that reconciliation to others. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. He gives us the mystery of His will. This is the gospel, and we have it on our hands. Let's put it into practice in our lives, making known unto us the mystery of His will. This is very important, that anybody in the world can have the very will of God. He gives us open doors of opportunity to talk with others about the Word of God. That's a personal open door for you and for me in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, that God may open unto us a door for the Word. And so, brethren, we have all of these great possessions. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. this should encourage us that God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gave that to Peter and the other apostles, and then they turned around and gave that to mankind. And I want us to think about the importance of having all things, not some, not most, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What a great encouragement that is, seeing that His divine power has granted or has gifted, Bob spoke about this recently, unto us, to us. So not only does God want to be with us, but He wants to give us things, and He gives us eternal life in His Son. Brethren, what an encouragement that is. Now, turn with me to 1 John 3. It gets even closer. Not only is God with us, and that brings us encouragement because somebody is standing close beside me, but then He reaches out and gives things to me, but it gets even closer now. John is going to tell us that God is in you. Now, how close is that? That's pretty close. Brethren, we need to remember this. I don't know about you, but in my life, from time to time, you're driving down the road, you're thinking, you know, I can't see God, and I can't literally hear Him. How am I going to deal with such and such? That's the lesson today. That's the lesson today. To be reminded of these little prepositions, they're just teeny little words, but they pack a big lesson and a big punch. And so now we find from 1 John that God is in us. What an encouragement that is. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. I won't take the time to establish the context here, but I believe the He here in verse 24 is God. And he that keeps His commandments, God's commandments, abides in Him. We abide in God, and He, God, in Him. And hereby we know that He, God, abides in us by the Spirit which He gave us. And He gave us that Spirit through His words. Turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, my little children, and have overcome them. Look at this. Because greater is He, God, that is in you than he that is in the world. I have a choice of letting God be in me or the devil in me. How? I can let God be in me by keeping His commandments. Did you notice that in verse 24? He that keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He, God, in him. How do I know that God is in me? It's not some better felt than told feeling. I want you to underscore verse 24. It's not some mystical feeling. It's not some fuzzy feeling. If there's a commandment in the New Testament that I'm supposed to keep, and I keep it, God's in me. It's not some mysterious thing. It's not some fuzzy feeling thing. God is in me when I keep His commandments. And in verse 4 of chapter 4, God is greater that is in me. I don't have to succumb to the devil. I don't have to be overpowered by the devil. I don't have to give in to the devil because God, by me keeping His commandments, who's in me, is greater than he that is in the world. What an encouragement that is. Now we go from someone who's with me to someone who's handing something to me. Now he's in me. And hopefully that'll encourage us to be faithful to him. Look at chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. This is the very point I made at the beginning of the lesson because John reminded me of this when I was putting this lesson together. Look at verse 12. No man has beheld God at any time. That's my point. We don't see God. That's John's point. We don't see God. But what does the rest of the verse say? We don't see God. But that doesn't mean we go through life without any kind of help. If we love one another, God abides in us. What a great thing. Now again, it's like that previous verse. It's not some mystical feeling. Well, Chris, how do you know God is in you? When I love my brethren. And the very moment I do that, and back in chapter 3, John says, you love your brethren by giving to them, sacrificing for them, caring for them, serving them. When I do that, John says, God is in me. I don't see him. That's what the verse says. I don't see him. But John is saying you don't have to see him. That's the point. But he is in you when you love your brethren. What a great encouragement that is. And so his presence abides in us. That's what we've been reading. Not only that, but his Holy Spirit is in us. God is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And while I'm here on this point, I'll just go ahead and reveal the next point. Christ is in us. Do you know that when you're living right and when I'm living right, God is in me, the Holy Spirit is in me, and Christ is in me. And you're walking around with the Trinity in you. Wow. You see, brethren, I want to remind us of this thing so that we don't drive down the road thinking, well, you know, I don't have any help. We absolutely do. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. He's not talking about your physical skin. He's talking about you're not going to mind the things of the flesh. Be worldly and fleshly minded. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, our attitude, is life because of righteousness. If I understand verse 9, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ is a reference to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is in us. Verse 10, if Christ is in you. Well, we've already seen from 1 John that God abides in us. Now the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit are in us. Verse 11, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwells in you. John said, God abides in you. Similar word. Paul said, the Spirit dwells in you. Verse 10, Christ is in you. And brethren, what a great encouragement that that is. How? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, when I mind the Spirit, verse 5. Again, it's not some mystical feeling. But when I mind the Spirit, verse 5, when my mind is following the words of the Spirit, God is in me, the Holy Spirit is in me, Christ is in me. We talk about Father's Day. Phil said something about Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. We need, as fathers, let us model our Heavenly Father. So all of those attributes of our Heavenly Father, let us model that in our lives as an earthly father to our boys and girls. If you want a great Father's Day, all of us walk out and emulate our Father in heaven. And we do that by having His Word in us and following that Word. God is in us. You know, His power works in us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And so, as His Word is in us, so His power is in us. According to the power that works in us. His good works are in us. Philippians 1 and verse 6. When we go out and we carry out the Word of God and the work of God, it's in us. We're doing God's work. His grace is in us. And in this context of 2 Corinthians 9, it's the grace of giving. When we're giving in the contribution on Sunday, and that is going to do the Lord's work here and other places, His grace is in us. It's called the grace of God there in verse 14. But it's in the context of giving. And so, these things, brethren, for us are not just simply Bible passages. They are ways of life that change us and mold us and make us better. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. Why do I say that the grace of God here is the grace of God involving giving? Did you know that these two chapters in 2 Corinthians, they begin and they end with the grace of God? Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known unto you the grace of God, chapter 8, verse 1, and then he closes with 9:14, the grace of God. In this context, it's the grace of giving. And so when we're giving like we're supposed to, God is in us. What a great thing that is. His truth is in us. We've already talked about that. In 2 John verse 2, His truth is in us. Is it in you? Is it in me? That's why we need to be reading our Bibles daily. Let His truth control us. His truth, not our truth, His truth. We hear today in society, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. We need to have God's truth in us. That's what controls every aspect. How I dress, how I talk, what I put in my body, who I date, who I marry, how I raise my children, whether or not I'm going to be in this building or not on a weekly basis. His truth should dictate all of that. What am I going to do tomorrow at work on Monday? Young people, how am I going to act when school starts up again in August and those kinds of things? His truth needs to be in us. And that's what gives us help each and every day. And then last of all, His love is to be in us. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. We do need more love. There's a lot of love songs, you know, on the radio. Maybe you had, growing up, your favorite love song on the radio. And we do need more love. The problem is, so many people have the wrong kind of love. We need God's love. God's love that sacrifices and serves others. And in 1 John 4 and verse 9, herein was the love of God manifested in us. Look at that in your Bible. The love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. Look at this. And His love is perfected in us. God is in us when His love is in us. Do you remember I said earlier? Well, John tells us how God is in us. John tells us that He's in us when we keep His commandments. John tells us that God is in us when we love like He loves. That's how God is in us. But I want you to look very closely at that verse again. Look at verse 12. And His love is perfected. Look at that. Not only is God's love to be in us, but we need to perfect that. We need to complete that. It's not a one-time in us and then that's it. We need to work on that each and every day and grow that and perfect that. Get better at serving our brethren. Get better at talking to them, serving them, helping them. It needs to be perfected. It can be completed. It implies that there's a stage and a process and a growth process. So our love needs to be, God's love needs to be perfected in us. We can all get better at it, in other words. But then turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, a few more of these, and then we'll close this morning. God works through us. If we let Him in, if we will let Him be with us, if we will let Him give things to us, if we will let Him in us, then you know what He'll do? He'll begin to work through us. What a great thing that is. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. So God is with us. He hands things to us. Let's obey and receive those things. He wants to be in us. And now He wants to do His will in the word world through us. This speaks of agency, brethren. This speaks of agency. What a beautiful thing that God wants to accomplish things through you, through each of you, through me. What a beautiful thing that is. Now, I believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 that Paul is likely talking about himself and Timothy, and it starts with those individuals, but in a secondary sense, it continues through us. So verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and makes manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place. I believe that begins with the apostles. But we continue to spread the word of God today, and God works through us. Let him work through you. He can't do that if we're not faithful. If we're not praying like we should, and reading our Bible like we should, and attending here like we should, and being a faithful Christian every day, he just can't work through someone who's lukewarm. He can't work through the Laodicean church. He just can't do that. He can't work through us if we're defiled, like the church at Sardis. He can't work through us if we've got error in us and false teaching and ungodly things in our life. He just can't work through us. But he wants to work through us. Let him do that. What a beautiful thing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Not only does the little preposition through speak of agency, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we have a little preposition that speaks to means or method. How does God go about the means or the method of working in this world? Well, in addition to his providence and other things that he does, he can work by us. Wow, what a beautiful thing that is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, we are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ. I believe Paul is talking about himself and the other apostles. As though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Paul and the apostles were preaching the gospel earlier in the chapter. They're reconciling the world unto God. And God is working by these men. And again, in a secondary way, I believe that he can continue to do that in your life and mine. You need to be the Christian this week that God is working through you to touch others. He's working by you to touch others. Let's talk to that person. We had a visit this last week, a member of the church. He's just riddled with cancer. We went to visit him. He's out on his front porch. His wife was there. He's in pretty good spirits, but he's just riddled with cancer. And every time they find it and try to work on it in one spot, it runs to another part of his body, and he's just really wrestling with that. He's in his late 70s. Well, they invited the neighbor over when we came to visit, and so we're talking with her as well. God is trying to work through us to reach people at Walmart and Kroger and Publix and the post office. Let's start talking with people and helping people. And young people who are using social media, use that to try to contact people and have Bible studies and bring people to the gospel. And then last of all, one last thing. Let's look at our scripture reading and then we'll close. Not only is God with us and giving things to us and in us and working through us and by us, but it gets even better. He is for us. Wow. So again, the next time you're thinking, I don't know if I can do such and such, read Romans 8:31. When you learn that God is for you, what does that mean? He's on our side. He's in our corner, we would say. He will come to our defense. He will come to our aid. And if you read earlier in Romans chapter 8, especially starting at about verse 17, Paul is talking about Christians who are suffering. And they're going to have to go through suffering. And Paul says, let me help you with that. God is for you. And there's nothing other than yourself. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful thing to know that God is for us. He's in our corner, we would say. What then shall we say to these things? What things? What things? What had he been talking about from verse 17 down? Christians having to suffer. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What a beautiful thing. And he proves it in verse 32. by sending his son to die on the cross. Zacharias, when he was praising God for the birth of John the Baptist, said that God is going to provide salvation for us. Jesus was sent to die for us. Our behalf. It speaks to our behalf. It speaks to the fact that God loves the world and He does things for them and for us as Christians. And He allows His Spirit and Jesus to intercede for us. If you back up to verse 26 and 27 and 28, when you're suffering and you're going through issues and problems and you pray to God, Paul says, the Spirit intercedes for us. And then a few verses later, Jesus intercedes for us. Verse 34. What a beautiful thing that is. Well, brethren, God has a close relationship. And one last thing, He allowed Jesus to die on the cross and become a curse for us. We didn't have to hang on that cross. Paul quotes the Deuteronomy passage there in Galatians 3. Cursed is every man who is hung upon a tree. There's the curse. There is the stigma. There is the disgust of a man hanging on a tree. Jesus went through that so that we don't have to go through that. He became a curse for us. The stigma, the negativity, the bad reputation, the mocking, all of that He did for us. So as we close this morning, brethren, as we're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement, Nearer, Still Nearer, let's remember the close relationship that God wants to have with us. Let's not push Him away. He wants to be with us. Let's not shut Him out. He wants to be in us. Let's not refuse what He wants to give things to us. Don't say, I don't want that. He wants to work through us and by us. I love that song that we sing in our songbook, that we need to be a channel of blessing. Here's God. Here's the world. And we're the channel. We're the conduit. The culvert. The pipe. Let Him work through us and by us. And remember that He is for us. He doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want us to just give up and quit. He's given us on a daily basis many, many things, including the intercession of the Holy Spirit in Christ. One would be enough, but we have two in our corner. Utilize those things. Engage in those things, take advantage of those things, and let's live that life with confidence. If we can help you to come and put on Christ in baptism, or if we can help you to come back to the Lord in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?